This is the Baseball Tonight
this
podcast.
This is Baseball
Tuesday,
Tonight,
September
the podcast.
29, 2020, producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. Taylor, the playoffs today. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness, Buster. I'm not super excited to wake up early in the morning, but this morning I had a pep in my step. It's playoff day, postseason action. I can't wait to whip around a couple games here. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get into it, man. How you feeling?
Yeah, great. The next few days, for sure, it's going to feel like the first and second, third, fourth day of the NCAA tournament with all the games that are going on. And with the American League Wild Card Series, there's no doubt, as Tim Kirchin talked about in the podcast yesterday, the big series is Yankees-Indians. Our Sunday night group will be broadcasting that series tonight starting at 7 p.m. There'll be games on all day, ABC, ESPN. The Yankees will turn to Kyle Higashioka behind the plate for game one of the series versus the Cleveland Indians. Gary Sanchez, the all-star catcher, will be on the bench. Aaron Boone made that announcement yesterday. Of course, Higgy has been working with Garrett Cole as his personal catcher. Garrett Cole will be throwing against Shane Bieber. This amazing matchup between two of the best pitchers in baseball, and Bieber talked about getting the start in game one.
Every team wants to build momentum going into the postseason. That's kind of what we've done over the last week or so. I know we had a skid a little bit before that, but we knew as a clubhouse, as a team, as individuals, that as long as we got things going in the right direction, that we can make a run at this thing, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we're excited to do.
Garrett Cole talked about starting game one for the Yankees.
Look, I've pitched in one game, one-offs, wild cards. This is a crazy year. This is a brand new format. It's a three-game series that we're going to have to win to get to the next game. I think starting the first game, whether it be a three-game series, a four-game series in May, April, June, July, October, whether it be a doubleheader in coronavirus baseball this year, and you get the first game, the object is if you're taking the ball early, is to set the tone both for the pitching staff and for the team. So. I've been practicing that this year, and I'll just keep trying to get better at it.
I got to tell you, I watched both those Zoom calls, and both of those guys, Shane Bieber, Garrett Cole, just had the biggest grins on their face. Like, you could tell they were like, yeah, playoff baseball. They're fired up.
They're jumping out of the skin.
Rookie Jesus Luzardo will start for the A's on Tuesday in game one of the wild card round series against the White Sox. Manager Bob Melvin announced on Monday. The A's manager said that Chris Bassitt we'll start game two on normal rest with the starter for game three yet to be determined. Tim Anderson of the White Sox talked about the playoffs being a clean slate.
It's a fresh start. You know, yesterday ended, you know, the regular season. So now it's time to, you know, really dig in and continue to work and, you know, keep rallying around one another and do or die. So, you know, I think they're going to play a huge role in guys, you know, guys' head. So every pitch matters. Everything matters. Every out, every inning. So it's time to definitely lock it in.
We've also got the Minnesota Twins playing host to the Houston Astros. The Tampa Bay Rays against the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoya surprised some people by deciding to start his ace, Hyunjin Ryu, in game two. We're going to be talking about that with David Schoenfield coming up. Blue Jays shortstop Bo Bichette talked about his club reaching the postseason.
I think the biggest surprise is probably finishing the season. You know, early on it didn't look great. And the fact that we were able to get it done is awesome. You know, and seemed like every team took it pretty seriously after the first couple mishaps. And, you know, it allowed us to kind of focus in on the season and realize that we'd get it done. I wouldn't really say there's any surprises that were negative for me. You know, it was definitely a challenging year and a different year, but, you know, I think everything worked out pretty well for us.
National League playoffs start on Wednesday. Reds and Braves, a fascinating series. Trevor Bauer was on a Zoom call yesterday discussing how limiting walks was a key part of his success this year.
That's the goal. Make them beat me, don't beat myself. So limit the walks, try to execute as many good pitches as possible so I can limit the hits. You know, the less traffic you have on the bases, the better off you usually are. So that's been the goal for me really all year. I've tried to cut my walk rate down because that's a really easy way to limit runs scored, and that's something that's definitely helped. I mean, when you face a team multiple times, like, you know the hitters better, but they know you better. I don't know where that advantage falls, really. So I just I I'm facing the Braves. I know I'm facing the Braves, and I'll prepare for the Braves just like I'd prepare for whoever else.
The Marlins will play against the Cubs. Derek Jeter, the chief executive officer, chief executive officer of the Marlins, talked about the team's postseason performance.
I wanted our young players to also experience what it's like to go to the postseason and play in the postseason. It's something that I did as a player, and it adds a lot of value when you go, you know, into the next spring training and you move on throughout your career, because you know what the atmosphere is like. Obviously, you say atmosphere and there's no fans in the stands, but these guys are going to go out there and they're going to compete. So this is a stepping stone for our organization. We want to make steady progress year in and year out.
It was sad news. Jay Johnstone, who won a World Series championship with the New York Yankees and later with Los Angeles Dodgers, passed away at age 74. He died on Saturday of complications from COVID-19. I've talked in the podcast before about how I grew up a huge Dodger fan. And one of the biggest moments for me as a Dodger fan was them winning the 1981 World Series. Jay Johnstone got a big hit in Game 4 of that World Series. Give a listen.
The 1-2 pitch to Johnstone, hit high in the air to deep right center field. Bobby Brown looking up, Johnstone put it out. Davis has not been pitching the way he pitched during the season. And this team, what character! Los Angeles Dodgers.
Well, if you said you didn't, where you didn't want to throw a ball would be out over the plate. Johnstone still has to hit, but as you said, he's got a quick bat, good pinch hitter, hits it way back in right center.
Made it 4-2, then 4-3. Yankees got two runs in the top of the inning to make it 6-3. It's now 6-5. The crowd wants Johnstone to reemerge from the dugout, and here he comes.
Before we get to Dave Schoenfield and Paul Imbachides, check out the latest episode of Fantasy Focus Football. Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp recap the third Sunday of the NFL season, highlighting the best performances from this week and updating you on all the injury news from around the league. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Focus Football wherever you get your podcasts and watch it live weekdays at 10 a.m., streaming on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and the ESPN app.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
And David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN, and I think you would agree with me that we want to kick to the curb just about everything about 2020. But starting today, the next 4 days, if you're a baseball fan, may be the most fun that you're going to have all year. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I'm not a fan of 16 teams as a long-term idea. I'm a little bit of a purist, but for 2020, I love this format. I love the best of three much more than the one-game wild card. So I'm with you, Buster. The next few days are going to be fun, exciting. I love the must-win nature of every game. The pressure on the top seeds is enormous, not to lose that first game. So, yeah, lots of fun.
So how are you going to watch this? Okay. Because I was thinking about that today. Like, you know, I don't have a room where I have like six televisions. I'm not going to be in Bristol. I'm going to be at home. And I suspect I'm just going to wind up getting carpal tunnel syndrome from using my remote so much over the next few days.
Yeah. I don't have the man cave either, but I got a TV and I could put one game up on my computer. And I guess, are there any time slots where we might have three going at one time? Then I guess I'll put one on my iPad. So, but yeah, a lot of remote, because, you know, as much as the iPads and the computers are nice, you know, you want your TV, right? Your big screen. But yeah, a lot of flipping back and forth. It's going to be hard when the games are going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's going to be like a college game day feel to it with all the games going on. And let's go back to the studio with Kevin Negandhi giving some updates from all over. it'll be an absolute blast. And ESPN and ABC broadcasting 7 of the 8 series. All right, before we get to some of the American League series that start today, or all the American League series that start today, let's talk about Alex Cora. I wrote a piece on ESPN.com today after reading the quotes, very noncommittal quotes by Chaim Bloom, who's the head of baseball operations for the Red Sox, about Alex and whether or not the Red Sox are going to be interested in bringing him back. And look, you and I both know there's a lot of reasons why Chaim Bloom might be reticent to inject Alex into this conversation right now. He is at the moment in baseball jail. He has to get through the end of this month before his suspension is over. But the overriding point of my column was, if they don't hire Alex, they're crazy. They're insane. How often would a big market team, especially a place like Boston, have an opportunity to hire someone like Alex? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, when he first got suspended, whenever that was, January, you know, with ties to both the Astros, you know, in 17, and then whatever the Red Sox did in 18, my first thought was, man, I don't know if he's ever going to manage again. But that was the emotion of the moment. We're all worked up. We're ticked off. But the more I think about it, I'm with you. Once his penalty's over, he's paid his time. So he should be welcomed back into the game. And he absolutely, as we saw in 2018, is an unbelievable manager. And you mentioned this in your column, Buster, how much to a man. I don't think I remember hearing a team praise their manager as much as the Red Sox did last year. They loved that guy. They respected him. He made them better. So I can't disagree. I'm with you. He's not the right guy for that job.
And I also feel like that the risk in not hiring him for Chaim Bloom would be enormous, because let's just say, and look, Chaim Bloom, you know, was with the Tampa Bay Rays, who were a manager factory. You know, Rocco Baldelli and Charlie Montoyo and Kevin Cash was great there. Derek Shelton. So they clearly, you know, Chaim knows what he's doing in terms of picking managers. And most people who go in to run an organization like to go and pick their own guy. But if he does that and it doesn't go well, especially in the first year, and let's say Alex, having been spurned by the Red Sox, were to go to a team like, and I'm just making this up, like the Mets, the new owner of the Mets brings him in and they win. Oh, my God. In a city like Boston, knowing that the Red Sox had access to a managerial talent like Alex and you passed on it, that would be just setting yourself up for such turmoil among your fans.
Yeah, and look, Boston fans were willing to accept 2020 and, you know, one of the worst seasons in Red Sox history. They're not going to take many more of these, right? You have another, you know, disastrous season, and Red Sox Nation is gonna, you know, I don't have words to describe how angry they're going to be. So you're going to want to turn this around right away. And Alex Cora clearly is the best guy out there. And look, it's not just that he works well with the players. He's great with the media. That's probably more important in Boston than any other city. I think even more so than New York. So that just even makes him an even perfect guy for that job. So I'm with you. I get it. A lot of pressure on Bloom to do the quote unquote right thing. But the right thing is to hire the best manager. That's Alex Cora.
And on top of that, and I know that, you know, there is going to be some backlash among baseball fans. I saw this on Twitter after I posted the column this morning where so many people are like, he's a cheater. And I'm just running through in my mind the list of people who've had checkered pasts, right, who are in baseball. You think about, you know, the guy who's considered to be the best teammate in baseball right now, probably if you were to poll among all players, Nelson Cruz of the Twins, who's a great player. He's a great guy. He also was suspended for PEDs. Like, people move on in the sport and in life. So, and I'm biased. Alex is a friend. I worked with him here at ESPN, but I still think the Red Sox, even if I wasn't friends with Alex, I think it'd be crazy not to hire him. Okay, let's get to the American League series start today. Obviously, the headliner is the series I'm going to be lucky enough to do starting at 7 o'clock tonight. We've got the Indians playing host to the Yankees. You got Shane Bieber, Garrett Cole, a good old-fashioned matchup of two aces, one guy, you know, was the best pitcher on the planet 2 years ago versus Shane Bieber is the best pitcher on the planet this year. What are you expecting in this series?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be one of the best games of the entire postseason, I suspect. You know, what an unbelievable matchup. Shane Bieber won the MLB pitching triple crown, wins, ERA, and strikeouts. First guy to do that since Johan Santana in 2006. And he might not even be the most dominant pitcher in this game because Garrett Cole's pretty good. I looked up any postseason series game one matchup, and I might have missed one, but the last game one battle with a lower combined ERA that I found was 2014. Clayton Kershaw, that was the year he won the MVP, versus Adam Wainwright, who had a 2.38 ERA that year. So there's been some great ones. You know, we had Scherzer and Cole in game one of the World Series last year, but this is just a terrific game one matchup.
For me, the key thing in this series and in this game tonight is going to be how clean they play. And I got to say, having watched the Yankees a lot this year, they have not performed well on defense. I was looking at defensive runs saved, and there's no perfect measure of defensive play. But the Indians were tied for second best in the regular season, defensive runs saved. They have an excellent defensive team. Garrett Cole was talking about it yesterday, how the Indians don't make mistakes. And on the other hand, the Yankees seem to make a lot of mistakes. The key guy for me in this series, Gleyber Torres, who has not had a good season. He has not played well defensively. What about for you? Just some other factor that's jumping out at you.
Yeah, no, first, that's a good point on the defense. I watched in Aaron Boone's post-game session the other day, Friday or Saturday, and they made a bunch of errors. And the look on his face, you know, was just disgust, you know, because that's been a problem all year for the Yankees. Yeah, obviously it's the Cleveland offense. Are they going to be able to generate enough runs? And I'm intrigued because, yeah, they had one of the lower home run rates in the majors, but the Yankees allowed the most home runs of any playoff team, you know, and Garrett Cole had some of those home run issues, you know, in the middle of the season, not so much his last couple starts, but the Yankees do give up home runs. So that's, to me, Cleveland's going to have to figure out a way to knock a few over the fence. Jose Ramirez, of course, has been red hot. Carlos Santana did not have a great regular season, but he's heated up a little bit the last, you know, couple of weeks. So that's the key. Can Cleveland hit any home runs off the New York pitching?
And can the Yankees hit on the road? The numbers, the home road splits for the Yankees this year are shocking.
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, we had a note, I think Sam Miller dug this one up, of the 20 largest home road splits. I forget how far he went back, if this was history or X number of years, but of the 20 largest, 19 were Colorado Rockies teams, and the other was the 2020 Yankees. So they had, huge home road splits this year.
The White Sox in Oakland playing today. Lucas Giolito, the obvious pick for the White Sox to start in Oakland. Jesus Luzardo gets the start, the young left-hander for the Oakland Athletics. We had Sarah Langs in the podcast yesterday, and she mentioned the White Sox, 14-0 in games started by left-handers. Luzardo, left-hander. So I was a little bit surprised, but maybe that's just kind of where Oakland is with their rotation right now.
Yeah, they don't have a clear number one. I was a little surprised because Lizardo's last appearance was actually in relief, so I thought they might use him out of the pen. And this could be kind of a bullpen series for Bob Melvin, right, Buster? You know, they had the lowest ERA in relief of any team, you know, really deep bullpen. So even though Lizardo's starting, I would not expect him to go deep into this game, maybe even just one time through the rotation.
You know, we talk about players who seem really well-suited for the big stage. When I covered the Yankees, Derek Jeter loved it. Like, you knew his heart rate was the same. I got to tell you, like, the guy I think in this series I could see doing that is Tim Anderson. Like, I talked to him last night in for a story that I'm working on, and you just hear someone who's just absolutely relaxed, and you feel like he's convinced, yep, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way. And you could see him doing damage in this series. Anybody jump out at you in this series?
Well, I'm curious, his teammate, Jose Abreu, who might win the AL MVP, 19 home runs, led the league in RBIs, you know, like kind of everybody else on this team, he'll chase some pitches off the plate, but he's absolutely crushed fastballs this year. And he's just got that calm demeanor. He's also the, you know, the leader of the team. I think there's a chance he could really have a big postseason.
Yeah, Tim was saying that Jose Abreu is the guy everybody goes to if they're looking for intel on the opposing team, opposing pitcher. An interesting decision announced yesterday by Charlie Montoyo, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. They're not going with their perceived ace in Hyunjin Ryu in game one. Instead, they're going to go with Matt Shoemaker. They're going to go with Ryu in game two. You initially hear it and you wonder if this is analytics overthinking. And then when you hear all the explanations, I think it's a great choice. First off, I've talked to so many people with the Dodgers when Ryu was there about how much better he is when he has extra rest. And he will in this case. You know, if you manage to steal a game one against Blake Snell with Matt Shoemaker on the mound, then you'd have Ryu lined up to start game two, maybe finish off the Rays, finish off an upset. If you lose, you get your big dog. And the other thing, too, is that because the Blue Jays rotation isn't that great, then you essentially have set up a situation where you get a bullpen game in game one. Then you get your big dog starter in game two. And then potentially you've given your bullpen guys a rest leading up to game three. What'd you think about this decision?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day wondering if anybody would deploy this strategy, though I thought it might be more, maybe you're facing Shane Bieber and we don't think we can beat him. I think in this one it was going to maybe be a White Sox-Cleveland matchup, and then you could run Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel out in games two and three. But then I was like, nobody's going to throw game one, not that they're throwing it. But this, yeah, it's interesting because they don't really have a clear number two starter. So game one, maybe this is even a bullpen game. You know, wouldn't expect Shoemaker, who's missed a lot of time, to go that deep. Then you got Ryu, and then game three, maybe it's Taijuan Walker in the bullpen. I'm a little surprised because the Rays don't have that clear-cut number one with Blake Snell and then Tyler Glasnow and Charlie Morton. They're all kind of all the same. It's interesting. We'll see how it plays out.
Among the eight postseason series, I think this is the one where I feel like you have the least chance for an upset. Like, I look at the Rays as being this team with this incredible competitive arrogance really built up during the postseason last year. They've been chomping at the bit all year. In a three-game series, you probably shouldn't be surprised by anything. It would shock me if they were to find a way to beat the Rays. What do you think?
Yeah, look, credit to the Blue Jays for getting back in with, you know, everything they had to go through playing in Buffalo. They did go 4-6 against the Rays this year. They outscored them 48-44. But I'm with you, you know, the Toronto pitching just doesn't seem to line up even a three-game series. Tampa Bay, of course, you know, an unbelievably deep pitching staff. And Snell and Glasnow and Morton, they weren't quite as dominant as we might have expected, but those three have a potential to just be lights out all October. And the Rays are my preseason pick to go to the World Series, so I'm definitely picking them to win this series.
I did Toronto radio this morning. They asked me about how Nate Pearson might be deployed. And I said, we've seen this over and over and over again, where a young hard thrower manifests himself in the postseason. you know, a guy comes in and he becomes your two inning guy. I kind of wonder if that's what Charlie Montoya is hoping for, because you get the feeling watching Nate Pearson, he's not afraid of anything.
No, and I remember we talked about him after his debut and how impressed we were. I know he had a couple hiccups, then he got hurt. But, yeah, he's back. They're going to use him in the pen. And that could be part of the strategy today with maybe a Pearson piggybacking off Shoemaker, you know, for the first five or six innings of the game.
And, of course, we have the Houston Astros against the Minnesota Twins. Zach Greinke starting game one against Kenta Maeda. What are you looking at here?
Well, we all know what's on the line here. This is one of the most amazing streaks in baseball history. The Twins, of course, 16 consecutive playoff losses. It's almost unfathomable. 13 of those, of course, came against the Yankees through the years. So Twins obviously were the better team in the regular season, but don't count out the Astros. Although Greinke, after a hot start, I think his ERA was 5.73 over his last seven. So he hasn't really been that dominant of late. But the Minnesota offense is not what it was last year. I have your toss-up. I picked the Astros. Maybe that's putting a little too much weight on Minnesota's playoff history.
Wow. That's a pretty gutsy pick. I like that one. One thing I'd say about this is Zach Greinke's a pitcher, as you know. If he's going to win, he's going to be tricking hitters. And yes. I thought about how important Nelson Cruz will be on a day like today. Like, he's the guy who's going to be all over the video. He's going to have watched Zach Greinke. He would have prepared. He probably has already yesterday was going up to a bunch of different hitters saying, okay, watch for this, do that. Much in the same way that, you know, we've seen veterans Kenny Morales being a difference maker for the Kansas City Royals in the past. I could see the Twins going into this game with a very specific game plan against Greinke.
Yeah, obviously Greinke has all sorts of pitches, but I was looking at the numbers. He still does throw his four-seam fastball more than any of his other pitches, and that's also his worst pitch. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but batters slugged like 500 off it. Nelson Cruz absolutely destroys fastballs. Miguel Sano is another great fastball hitter. So whether that means they're going to be trying to sit on that four-seamer, because who knows? Greinke might not throw any, because that's the way he operates as well. But, yeah, that cat-and-mouse game will be really fascinating in this one.
So in the end, when they asked us to turn in our picks over the weekend, who did you have in the World Series?
I stuck with my preseason pick, Dodgers over Rays. I see no reason to go in another direction, although the AL, I think you'll agree, it's so wide open. You could pick any maybe of the top seven teams, but I'll stick with Dodgers and Rays.
Yeah, that's the one that makes sense, but the best of three also. It's such a wild card.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot of faith in the Tampa Bay offense. Only the Tigers struck out at a higher rate, so that worries me. It's more of a collective team effort, you know, than having those three or four superstars in the middle of the lineup. But they do have the pitching depth. But the AL, it's going to be fun because it's so wide open.
It's going to be an absolute blast. All right. Good luck in trying to balance your remote control and your computer and trying to go back and forth. And let's hope your service doesn't go out. You know, last night, our Wi-Fi went out here and my son was just frantic because he was trying to play some video games. Who turned off the Wi-Fi? Who turned off the Wi-Fi? That'll be big.
We've had some problems with our supplier the last couple weeks, so God help me if something goes wrong.
Yeah, I didn't jinx you if it happens, okay? Let's be on the record.
I'm holding you to it. You can come down and get it hooked up again.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give.
Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Jumping into the numbers.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye, the winner is Cincinnati by 200 points. Bye, you worthless hunk of junk.
This is Hembo Knows.
Hembo, of course, is Paul Imbecchietti. He's a researcher at ESPN who has managed to move into a position of great authority on the show Get Up. And Mike Greenberg tells us it's because he's a wild partier. All right. Before we get to the key facts in each of the American League series, it starts today. And Hembo, you're always so great at digging out those nuggets that define the key element of each series. I just wanted to get your opinion on what I wrote today about Alex Cora. In the column, I said that the Red Sox are insane if in the end they don't wind up hiring him, because not only is he one of the best managers in baseball, not only is he proven in Boston, not only is he won, not only is he liked by the players, but to not hire him, they would be putting themselves out on such a ledge of risk, because if the next guy comes in and he's terrible and Alex Cora goes off someplace else and wins, my God, the second guessing would go all the way to Worcester.
Well said. It sure would, Buster. To me, I would describe this as a no-brainer. That isn't to say that the Red Sox should not consider other options or interview other people, because they should. They should do their homework and their due diligence. But I've always been operating under the assumption, frankly, that Alex Cora would be made the Red Sox manager after this 1 year suspension. And especially when you consider how badly this team performed this year, it seems to me, at least from the outside looking in, that the fan base isn't so high on the new general manager. So if Bloom makes this decision, I think it would be an olive branch that Red Sox fans would frankly probably roundly like. And like you said, you then don't have to worry about the downside and the risk of Alex Cora being successful elsewhere. So to me, this will happen, or at least I would highly suspect it would. I heard Bloom say yesterday that it's not on their radar yet, but of course that's just a corporate speak. This will be a decision they make, and if it doesn't, I think you're go a long way in further separating any goodwill that he has at the moment with that fan base.
So four American League series starts today. Our group is broadcasting tonight, Yankees and Indians. What an incredible matchup. Shane Bieber, best pitcher on the planet, versus Gerrit Cole, who was the best pitcher on the planet last year. What do you got on that series?
Yeah, this is the matchup of the day. The Indians-Yankees series, Buster, frankly, comes down to the long ball. At home, at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees homered once in every 15 at-bats this season. That was the best rate of its kind in Major League history. But on the road, where they'll be playing in this series, the Yankees homered once in every 34 at-bats. That ranked 27th in the majors this season. Further, Buster, the Yankees went 2-14 on the year when failing to hit a homer. So I like Cleveland in this series if they can keep the ball in the yard.
White Sox and Athletics, what do you got?
The A's have some pitchers who can gas it up, but try and overpower this White Sox lineup at your own risk. Against pitches thrown 95 miles per hour or faster, premium velocity, Buster, the White Sox batted .324 with a .574 slugging percentage. Both of those figures are the highest in any season during the pitch tracking era. So Oakland establishes fastball more than any team in the playoff field. So that promises to be a telling matchup inside the matchup.
Were you a little bit surprised that Oakland manager Bob Melvin decided to go with Jesus Luzardo in game one, a left-hander against a lineup that has absolutely feasted on left-handers?
Not really, because it's pretty clear to me that he is their best guy, and the stuff plays up so much. Yes, that lineup is filled with righties that can rake, but it's also not a lineup that's performed well down the stretch. I think my guess that Melvin made that decision more based on how he trusted his staff and less on the oppo research that he had.
Well, and possibly as well, just sort of how guys lined up, because Bassett's not really in a position, and they want to make sure that Bassett's on full rest. Astros and Twins, what do you got?
Minnesota has a major advantage over Houston as it relates to strength of schedule. Here's what I mean. Against the playoff field, the Twins went 22-14. That was the third best record in the league. That comprised 60% of their schedule. Meanwhile, the Astros went 4-13 against the playoff field. That was the worst record of any team in baseball, playoff team or not playoff team. That made up only 28% percent of their schedule, which is to say, Buster, Minnesota really had to grind to get here, whereas Houston really did not.
Yeah, so I'm doing TV later today, and I'm writing that number down, 4-13 against the playoff field, because I'm going to steal it and use it. Thanks, Hembo, for that.
You better.
The Toronto Blue Jays against the Tampa Bay Rays.
They have the youngest. Blue Jays have the youngest group of hitters in baseball, but they adapt like veterans. When facing the opposing start of the first time through the order, they own a batting line that ranks 21st in the league. It's only .681. But when they go through the second time or later against the opposing starter, that OPS jumps to .833. That ranks first among all teams that made the playoffs. So I'll be stunned if Kevin Cash provides his starters a long leash at all when considering the quality and depth that he has in that bullpen.
Yeah, the perception of folks I've talked to is that those adjustments that the Blue Jays hitters make, that is Dante Bichette. That is his influence. Since he went in there, was hired by the Blue Jays, of course, the father of Bo Bichette, their shortstop. We've heard, you know, stories about hitters who are uniquely qualified to advise teammates on adjustments. I think Nelson Cruz of the Twins, for example, Kenny Morales, you know, he had a great reputation among teammates for going in, watching video and finding things for everybody to work with in terms of how they're being pitched. And I guess Dante Bichette is that guy for the Jays. So real quick, before you go, who's going to win the World Series?
The Dodgers are going to beat the Indians in the World Series. That's my pick. They're the two best pitching teams. I think this year especially, that's going to matter more than ever. That's what I'm going with.
So you're not worried about Dodgers against Brewers in a three-game series and Craig Counsell being maybe the best game manager?
I am certainly worried about any team in any three-game series. But yeah, the Brewers are just nowhere close to the team the Dodgers are right now. So that's their best chance. The Dodgers' best chance to lose a series, if you will, is the first one because it's the best of three. That's how once they get rolling, I think it's going to be a smooth sail of the World Series for those guys.
Yeah, the talent will manifest eventually. All right, Hembo, thanks for doing this.
Later, boys.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Tuesday. First up, we got Nick Murray at NickMurray91. He writes in, Sarah Lang's point about the Jays making the postseason sans a 10-year vet was intriguing. He asks, A, do they even need one moving forward with that young core if they go two and out versus the Rays? And he also asks, B, which pending free agent veteran should they be targeting?
I think the Blue Jays have a chance to make an absolute killing this winter. They're one of the teams that's in a winter in which a lot of teams are not going to be spending that much. I think Blue Jays are going to be one of the most aggressive teams. We've talked about the huge pool of free agents. So maybe they go out and add a position player of some kind, somebody who gives them some depth. Maybe they go out and add some starting pitchers. I don't have anyone specific in mind, but I think the Blue Jays are really going to be helped by free agency this winter.
Next up, and last one for today, Perry White at Mr. White Perry writes in, why weren't the Cardinals forced to play their last two games? Because it would have affected seeding. He's just trying to understand, and Perry tagged a bunch of people, and he really wants the answer to this question. So what is that answer, Buster?
Well, generally speaking, I think when baseball makes decisions on tiebreakers, they don't like adding extra games if it's not going to affect the composition of the playoff field. In other words, if the Cardinals could have lost a playoff spot, they would have been forced to play that doubleheader in Detroit. But because it wasn't going to affect the field of eight, they just decided, you know what, we don't want to do that. And let's face it, in 2020, they don't want to put anybody and take on any extra risk related to COVID-19. And if they could prevent the Cardinals from traveling to finish these games, if there was no big, huge, important reason to do it, that was the direction baseball was going to go. I'll say it again. Boy, given everything that we saw at the beginning of this thing and the outbreak with the Marlins and the outbreak that we saw with the St. Louis Cardinals, the sport being shut down, it's amazing that all but two teams played 60-game schedules.
Good stuff. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Let's see some pictures of you guys watching games, your setups. I would be interested to see that from the Bleacher Tweeters. So fire those off and please subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, because we're going to be covering all of the action tomorrow and previewing the NL games as well. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute blast. Yeah, that'd be fun to look at those pictures. That's it for today. My thanks to Dave, to Hembo, to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality are things that we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.